Awesome. I'm so excited to hear more. So the next person that's going to be speaking is going to be Mandy.
All right, just setting a timer. Hi, family. My name is Mandy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mandy.
Hello.
We love you, Mandy. Oh. Lots and lots.
Love it. Thank you. I love you too. Wow. I'm trying to set this like a responsible adult. Here we go. So my name's Mandy. You love me. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 13th of 2015. I am from Northern Kentucky. I live 10 miles south of Cincinnati. So I'm like this weird form of like Southerner where like nobody else thinks I'm Southern because I basically live in Cincinnati. If you ever find yourself in that area, find me on Facebook. There's some really cool young people's meetings that I've had the honor of being on committees that have started. Like YPA is really beginning to blossom in that area. We just hosted the first Kikipa in Northern Kentucky. It hadn't come there for 10 years. So like it's really cool to be a part of. I have a home group, as I mentioned, and I actively sponsor other individuals that self-identify as alcoholics. I can't tell you you're an alcoholic. You're probably one if you're sitting here. Veronica, thank you so much for chairing and for being responsible and like orchestrating all of this. I was like in the car and she texted like, hey, like meet at this place. I was like, wow, this is like really thorough. Because I've been on panels where like, we don't know anything. Like the panelists show up and we're just like twiddling our thumbs and like somebody random comes in and anyways. So I've been like really cheesing this whole time, just like looking at a room of women. I think it's really esteemable to like look at a program and be like, oh my God, women, right? And I say that because when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was repulsed by women. Like, get away from me. And like, I just wanna give everyone in here kudos for like sitting in a room of women, right? Like, it's a really big deal. I think like, and this is nothing against the program, but like every time a women's relationships panel happens, it's always like on the basis of like women are gonna get together and talk about men, right? Like our relationships with men, but like there's so much more depth to my relationships with women in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like I have a boyfriend. I know I was asked to speak on this panel because he's speaking next door. I like heard him and I'm like, what is he saying about me? you know, we met in YPA, like we dated long distance. Like sometimes our dates would happen at conferences. I later moved after a period of time to be with him. Like some people joke, like, oh my God, you guys are like the YPA, like couple, like postered, like whatever. And I cringe inside at that idea sometimes. Like I love him. But I find a lot of times, like, I was asked to speak on this panel because of my boyfriend, right? Like, in AA back home, sometimes people are like, oh, like, you're Billy's old lady. And I'll be like, my name's Mandy, you know? Like, sometimes that title of my relationship comes before myself as a woman in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, like, I have to actively work sometimes twice as hard to be more than just my relationship, especially because I moved to another state. I'm originally from Chicago. I moved to Kentucky for love, right? And I'll tell anybody that, right? But I had to like get into AA all over again and find women in AA all over again. So I love what the two women before me had to share. It was, all of it was so relatable. Being young and sober and like given the word celibacy is a really weird thing, right? I first found Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 17 years old. I found it again a month before I turned 21. I've been sober since. So I've had these like weird experiences of like growing up into adulthood and into sobriety. And then sometimes being told like, I don't know, like at 17, I was a senior in high school and someone talked to me about celibacy and like all my girlfriends in high school were like living their best lives, right? Like out doing the most, like going to clubs, buying cigarettes, experimenting with things. And like, I was like going to noon meetings with old Irish dudes in Chicago talking about like celibacy, You know, it was weird. So, like, yeah, I've done a lot of crazy stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous and outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, like, I don't think there's any shame behind that because I've stayed sober, right? And, like, I've built these amazing experiences that, like, I needed, right? To say, like, hey, that relationship really sucked, but, like, I survived, right? Or, like, hey, I've been present for that experience, and now I know what abuse looks like. Like, I once had a guy try to yank me through my car window, sober, okay? Like, it's been really wild. And I will say, though, that, like, I, like, worked the fellowship program for a really long time. Culturally, like, the difference between, like, Chicago young people and Kentucky young people has been very weird to me in the sense that, like, I grew up in an urban city where, like, women would contour their face for, like, 2 hours to show up to a meeting to impress that guy, right? And, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but, like, that's what my priority looked like when I got sober. And now, like, I'll roll out of bed and get into PJs, like, if it means I get to stay sober. You know, there was, like, a psychic change that happened with the steps. I love it when girls come to meetings for guys, because at least they're coming to a meeting, you know? So, like, I found this woman. I was told I needed to ask the woman in Alcoholics Anonymous that scared me the most to sponsor me. And I literally was like, hi, like, you really scare me. I can't stand it when you walk into a room, you hold your head up high, you have, like, these amazing women around you, and I'm alone, and it intimidates me, so, like, apparently you need to be my sponsor. And she told me, like, no men until I work the steps. And, like, it was this, and she said, she was like, it doesn't have to be that long, like, Bill worked it in, like, less than a week. You know, like, me working the steps is contingent on how hard do I want to hustle for my sobriety. So I didn't talk to a single guy for 3 months. It's not a long time, but, like, I was crawling in my skin, right? Because, like, women in Alcoholics Anonymous were asking me to sit with myself and God, and that was terrifying, right? Because love God and all, but, like, God doesn't tell me, like, my eyebrows are on point today. Right? And, like, God doesn't, like, slide in my DMs in the middle of the night. Like, nothing. Like, I haven't had, like, some people have those spiritual experiences where, like, they hear stuff. I haven't had that gift. But I have had women in Alcoholics Anonymous tell me that I'm strong, beautiful, and capable, and that I'm going to make it through. So, like, when I started the steps, I literally texted every guy in my phone. I was really extra about it. And I was like, hey, love you lots. See you when I work the steps. And, like, I was texting guys that I wasn't even into, but, like, we were good friends. But I was taught this phrase, men are martinis with legs, okay? So, like, I can use a man, the, like, to get out of self, to validate me, to avoid God, to force my will. I can use a man to do a lot of things to benefit me, the way I would pick up a drink to make myself feel better. When I read my sex inventory during that round, my sponsor literally called me a succubus. I don't know, like, if you know what a succubus is, but, like, it is, like, this mythological creature that is a temptress, and she, like, sleeps with men and, like, does everything to them and ruins their lives and then takes their soul. Right? Like, that's, I know it's funny, but, like, that's how much damage I caused before I worked the steps. Right? Like, whether it was sober or in the madness, I was harming men and women left and right. You know? So I worked the steps, and today, like, I mentioned, like, I'm in a relationship, but, like, from day one, I told my partner, I was like, I need you to know that my sponsees and the women of Alcoholics Anonymous will always come before you. Always. It's a no questions asked scenario. It is a deal breaker if you ever think that I'm going to pick you before them, because you women have kept me sober. He has not. He's the bonus, right? He's the bonus of, like, I've worked these steps, I have God in my life, and I get to be of service, like we talked about earlier. And I don't have to eat his soul today, right? Like, that's kind of like a form of the promises for me, that, like, I trust God and myself and AA enough to know that, like, he's going to be all right, and I'm not going to do anything to distract him from our primary purpose, which is to help the next alcoholic that suffers. So, like, today, I think Becca mentioned this, like, sponsorship's been really cool. I really try and emphasize to the women I work with, I'm always inviting them to the same meetings. One of my sponsees a couple years ago decided to dub our line of sponsorship as like a coven of witches. I know it's cute, but like we literally all flock together. Like every time I pick up a new girl or one of my sponsees picks up a new girl, we are like deep into a meeting, and like the new girl is really overwhelmed by like sitting around like a bunch of women that have worked steps and like hold their heads up high and hug and love and empower one another. Because when I came in, all of you were bitches, and I used that word in a really terrible way, right? It wasn't like bad bitch, it was like, you know. And like you all were gonna like backstab me, you all were my competition, you all wanted like to put me down, and I was very lonely. And today my life is full, like very full of women, and that's like almost, you know, almost 4 years later now, it's like weird that like the word women comes out of my mouth in a very empowering context. You know, but like it's important every time, because I've spoken on a few relationship panels because people know I'm in a relationship. It's important for me to say like there is more to a woman's meeting than talking about your man, right? And the other two speakers before me really touched on it. Like the bottom line is that self-care, that self-love, that finding love with God before anything else. Sometimes I have a sponsee where they're like, oh, I haven't gone this long without a dude in my life. And I'm like, when it comes to that inventory we talk about and that amends we talk about, like, why would I want to be intimate with someone when I have all of this crap inside of me? Like, if we're going to talk about, like, positive energies, when I connect physically with somebody, I am giving my energy to them. And that is terrible. Like, you're holding someone spiritually hostage. If I have a bunch of crap in me, they're gonna leave me with that crap I've given them. And like, when that was explained to me, like my insides, like I felt like a terrible human being, because itself will run riot. And then when I make those amends, like yes, it's about the other person at times, but it's also owning the fact that I get to be different today, right? Like I get to be an empowered woman that like reaches out to that woman that needs help and doesn't treat her like garbage and doesn't talk badly about her and doesn't treat her like competition, right? Like I get to say like, hey, I did these things to you and like, I'm sorry, this is how I'm gonna change. My daily amends is to never make a woman feel the way I've felt or the way I've made other women feel, you know? And I'm so grateful, like so grateful. So there's the buzzer and I can hear myself. So with that, I'm gonna shut up and remain teachable. Thank you.